Welcome to the Mind Gal Podcast, the show where we break down anxiety one show at a time and give strategies to release your negative thought patterns so that you can live your most fulfilled life. Get ready to challenge your narratives and gain the tools you need to overcome obstacles with your host, Monica Pitek Fugetti, a national certified licensed mental health counselor with over 15 years of experience helping people achieve their goals.
Thanks for joining me. I'm Monica. Hope everyone had a great week. I had a wonderful week and a good weekend. I am a school counselor, high school counselor, as many of you know, and I spent this week on graduation and honors night, and on Sunday it was the graduation for the high school that I work at, and I call names at that, which is particularly nerve-wracking because it's hard to pronounce some of the names, even though they give them to you phonetically. It's a little bit nerve-wracking because all the families are there and everything, but I got up there and I did it, and it was actually my 10th year doing this. So it was fun, and it's great always to see the seniors graduate because as their high school counselor, we follow them for 4 years, and we get to see them coming in as freshmen and going out as seniors, and the maturity that happens is astounding sometimes. And so it was just fun to see the culmination of all of their efforts and be there to shake their hands as they went across the stage. So I hope all of you also had a really good weekend and started off the week strong. Today is Thursday, so we've got 4 days almost under our belt now, and hopefully it's been pretty good for you. I do want to tell you though that this past week I did have some moments. Something happened that caused me to go into a full-on panic mode. So without going into any detail really, basically I thought that I did something that was unintentionally going to cost a lot of time and money to fix, and I was panicking. So I did what I could do. I sent in all the necessary paperwork and noticed that my check was cash. So really that should be enough, right? Nope, not for me it wasn't enough, because I now had to wait to hear back to see if everything went well. So let me start by saying that there is no evidence that anything went wrong or will go wrong. But you know, when you have anxiety, what does evidence matter? Because I'm worried, so I don't care about the evidence. I need to fixate. Anxiety comes about for me, and really actually for many, when I don't feel in control. So doing all that I could do wasn't enough. I wanted answers, and I wanted them now, but I wasn't getting them. I couldn't get answers from anybody. Every time I called the business, the phone was busy. I emailed and nobody got back to me. So naturally, I resorted to being incessant about my emails over and over and over again, but still nothing. Nobody contacted me back. That was really frustrating. This only makes my anxiety worse because now I am not just thinking about the actual issue. I'm thinking about all the things that could possibly go wrong if this isn't solved. You guys ever been there before where it starts out as a small issue? And I do like to come from the mindset that there are no such things as problems, only temporary situations without solutions. So I say that, and for the most part, I try to go at life like that. But when I am in a situation like I was this past week, a lot of things were depending on this going right. My anxiety really took center stage, and I felt like I was out of control, and I couldn't grasp where I could find control anywhere. And so I just started to fixate. What anxiety also does is that it makes us revert back to childhood. So think about it for a minute. I know that sounds a little bit crazy, but when you start to get worried or afraid, is your first reaction that of a mature person, or is it more similar to how you responded when you were a kid? For most of us, our reaction is similar to childhood. So for me, in this instance, I started to fixate. I remember having this moment in about second grade when I did a book report but couldn't find it. I remember sitting on my bed, rocking back and forth in panic, and my mom trying to calm me down. I mean, it was second grade. It was a second grade book report. What was the worst thing that was going to happen? To me, the world was going to come to an end, because that is what anxiety does to you, right? That it just tells you the worst case scenario is absolutely going to happen. It also tells you that everything around you will collapse if you don't turn your book report in. I don't know if I talked about the word if and how much I hate it yet, but I want to take a moment to tell you how much I hate the word if. To me, it is the worst word in the English language. And you know why? It's because there's no absolute to it. Everything is dependent on that word. I'm good enough if I turn my book report in. I'm pretty enough if people compliment me. So nothing is set in stone. And the word if really makes us question ourselves a lot. And when you struggle with anxiety, you kind of live in that world of if. You live in that world of if, and you live in that world of can't. Okay, well, so now I'm a 40-something grown-up, but I'm still reacting the same way that I did when I was a child. The difference is that now I know I am acting like a child. As an adult, I recognize some truths about anxiety that I did not recognize as a child. One, it makes your thoughts cycle. You are now fixated on this one thing and only this one thing. Second, it tells you that you can't. It tells you that you can't do anything because you're not good enough. You just live in that world of can't. And number three, it tells you that your world will collapse, that this problem is not solved immediately. And that's a really important distinction to make because we all know that most problems eventually get solved one way or the other. They don't always get solved the way that we want them to, but they get solved, we move on, and we're no longer having anxiety about it. But in the moment, we need solution right now, immediately. People who have anxiety, they want to control the situation as much as possible. And I was in a situation where I absolutely could not control it because I did everything that I could. All right, so recognizing that anxiety cycles in these three different ways that I just mentioned, I did institute some tools that helped, and I want to share them with you. One, I stepped back. This is really important to stop and step back. I actually had to verbally say to myself, and I said it to myself, not out loud, stop. I said those words. And I looked at the situation logically. You know, I've done a lot of work around anxiety. I've done a lot of work around mental health. And I know that I suffer from anxiety, and I've helped a lot of other people who have suffered from anxiety. And the one thing that I know for sure is anxiety does not live in logic. Anxiety lives in the stories that we make up based on fear. So I knew that I needed to step back and look at the situation logically. And so that's what I did. I thought, okay, what did I need to do to resolve the situation? Did I do all of those things? And is there anything that is telling me that nothing is going to go right at this point? I did not have any evidence that things were not going to go the way that I had hoped that they would go. That doesn't always help you calm down immediately, but it did make me look at the situation a little bit differently. And I felt myself think a little bit differently about it as well. So the first step is to step back. The second step is I played out scenarios. Okay, here's the thing. When I first started therapy and counseling other people, the whole thing was worst case scenario. Look at the worst case scenario. If you can handle the worst case scenario, then you can handle any other scenario that is above that. As of late, it seems like some therapy theories are telling us that you should not utilize the worst case scenario technique. But I actually don't agree with that when it comes to anxiety, at least. I think that it has been shown to be very helpful for me. It's shown to be helpful for the people that I help. Because, again, think about anxiety. It lives in control or lack of control, in fear. Fear of not being able to handle something, fear of a situation, fear of a thing. If you play out the situation in the worst possible way that it could work out, and you have a solution for that, then you really can handle it. So what I did is, after stepping back and looking at it logically, because you can't do step number two before you do step number one. So once I did that, I was able to say what the worst case scenario was going to be, how I was going to recover from that, and what I was going to do moving forward. And the questions I asked myself was, is this going to hinder my progress of what I'm doing? The answer is no, it's not. I might need to fill in some spaces somewhere and fill in some voids, but everything is going to be okay. So the worst case scenario was that it might take me an extra little bit to get done what I needed to get done, but I was still going to be able to do everything that I want to do. So perfect. The third one, mindfulness. So I've shared before that I've been practicing mindfulness and meditation pretty regularly now, and it really has helped me. I do meditation, morning meditations, for 5 minutes only because I cannot commit to more than 5 minutes. My expectation is 5 minutes, and I can reach that expectation. And I think about just relaxing my body. I think about what I'm grateful for. I think about inspiration for the day. I think about waking up with intention. And these things have helped me throughout the day to then be mindful. And mindfulness is just being in the moment, really. It's being present. It is nothing new, although it seems like mindfulness has taken on a trend lately over the last couple years where it's this brand new thing, kind of like The Secret. I don't know if anybody's ever read The Secret, but that's not brand new either. It's the law of attraction. It's time-honored. It's been around forever. Well, mindfulness has been around forever, but it's making a reappearance as of late as if it's something new, but it's not. Being in the moment has always been practiced with people who are able to remain healthy and calm. Mindfulness for me is recognizing my body, what it's doing, what muscles are being tensed, what are my thoughts doing, what are the messages I'm telling myself, what are the stories I'm telling myself. It's really important to be able to verbalize those stories that we are telling ourselves, and you can write it down or you can just say it out loud. And the reason that it's important, because there is a narrative that we all tell ourselves when we are in a state of anxiety or a state of happiness, whatever state that we're in, we all live in stories. We're all just one big book. But sometimes our stories are skewed based on our anxiety and fears. For me, the story that I was telling myself was that everything was going to be ruined. Everything that I worked for was going to be ruined, and I wasn't going to be able to recover, and I wasn't going to be worth anything anymore. That's a pretty big story to be telling myself, and basically what it was is a lie that I was telling myself. Because doing step number one, stepping back, and step number two, playing out the worst case scenarios, and then coming into mindfulness and thinking about the stories, I've already concluded that I can handle the worst case scenario. I have already concluded that there is no evidence that points to me being a complete and utter failure. I've already concluded by stepping back and playing out the scenarios that I am able to figure out how to solve this problem if it doesn't work out in my favor and it's not going to be a big deal. So what I had to do was reframe that story. And so now my story became, if this doesn't turn out the way that I want it to, it doesn't mean anything less of me. I'm still going to be successful. I'm still going to be able to do what I intend on doing. I can still have vision, still reach my goals. I might have to take a different route to where I want to be, but I'm still going to get there. That story is way more empowering than the lying story that I told myself before about being a complete and utter failure. Because again, anxiety living in absolutes. It lives in ifs, it lives in can'ts, it lives in absolutes. And it's a really messy, dirty place to live. And it's not fun to live there, and it's not comfortable. So we've got step back, play out worst case scenarios, and mindfulness. And the fourth and the last one is stay curious. I wrote about this one in my blog this week. If you read my blog, if you didn't get a chance to read it, I would recommend going back and reading it because I talk about it a little bit more in depth than I am right now, but I think it is really important. Anxiety causes your thoughts to be stuck. Forcing yourself to be curious also forces you to live in reality, which I find is a better place to live. When your mind is stuck on something, it's very hard to get out of that. We end up being like the mouse in the wheel that just keeps turning and turning and running and running, and our thoughts go crazy and they get away from us. But if we stay curious, we can actually think about, what is it that we're thinking? What is the story that we're telling ourselves? What is it that my body is doing? What is logically going to happen here? So when I was able to step back a little bit, I was able to ask myself, okay, so this is interesting that this happened to me. I wonder what would happen if this all fell apart. What would I do? And that's when I was able to kind of go into the worst case scenario and think about what I would do. But you get my point, right? It's staying in logic. It's staying in reality because anxiety, it wants to pull us away from reality. It doesn't like when we live there. It feeds off of our fears. It feeds off of our absolutes and our negative thought process. We really need to combat that in a big way. These four things are a great way for you to start. I would recommend that you write these down because you're going to need them in your back pocket, literally, when you are in a state of anxiety, because if you find yourself in a state of panic, the first thing that you have to do is calm down. That's the very first thing. You can't do anything with figuring out how to solve a problem when your body and your mind is in a state of panic. So first you calm down, and you do that by breathing, you do that by grounding exercises, and you do that by just having a mantra of some sort. And also you can do that, a lot of people do fidgets and that sort of thing. You can find what works for you, and maybe in later episodes we'll talk a little bit about panic and how to calm down to get to a state where you can think more logically. But once you're there, that's when it becomes really, really important for you to institute these four steps so that you can get yourself out of your anxiety cycle, unless you like living there, which I don't know why you would like living there, but believe it or not, I think that there is some truth to feeling comfortable in anxiety. Sure, we don't like living there. It wreaks havoc on our life, but it's also something we can count on. We know that we have been living with anxiety for so long. I wrote an article a little while back. It's like the frenemy you can't live without. It really, really is like that. We don't want to live with anxiety. We want to push it to the curb. Write these things down. If you have a pen and paper, write them down right now, or send a text message to yourself, or play this back again. But the four things that you want to do when you are feeling like you're in a fixation state of thought: the first one is step back. That is always going to be the first step. Step back and look at the situation in a logical way. Look at it as if you were going to, if you're helping your friend and it wasn't you, what would you say to them? Number two, play out worst case scenarios and solve them. Number three, mindfulness. Be mindful. Know what your body's doing. Know what your thoughts are saying. Know the stories that you're telling yourself. It's really, really important for you to know the story you're telling yourself so that you can change that narrative. And the fourth one is stay curious. Aside from number one, which always has to be the first one, number two, three, and four can kind of play out in different order. But it's really important that you do all of them. Staying curious about what is happening to your thoughts, staying curious about the situation. This is going to help to ground you. It's going to help you stay in reality and in logic. And I think that that's really, really important. So hopefully this episode was helpful for you and you walked away with four new skills that you can use when you find yourself in anxiety where your thoughts are fixating. Remember that it is possible to manage anxiety. You are worth the effort it takes to live an inspired life. Have a great week, guys. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of the Mind Gal podcast. Go over to mindgal.com now to sign up for your free 30-day anxiety challenge and have access to proven resources to help you manage anxiety. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so that you don't miss any future episodes. And please take a moment to give us a 5-star rating and write a review in the App Store. Thanks for listening.